Our scripture reading, Exodus 20, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Exodus 20, and reading from the first verse. Headed up in the New International Version, the Ten Commandments. And indeed, that's the record of what we have here. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet, and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." People remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. I'm going to stop there and ask that the Lord will richly bless his word to our hearts together this morning. Let's bow our heads again in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can come and bring our requests. And our Father God, we do so as we thank you for this gift. Father, we pray for Ukraine this morning. The devastation, the destruction, the bloodshed, those injured, those bereaved, those who have fled the country, leaving loved ones behind. And our God and Father, we just pray there might soon be a peaceful solution to all that is taking place. Work in the heart and hearts of the aggressor, the aggressors. Bring them to their senses, O God, we pray. And as many have observed once again, man's inhumanity to man. Father, we pray for that place, that country. Bless the president, the leaders. Give wisdom and guidance to those in the country of Ukraine. Pray, Lord, this morning for Afghanistan. Pray, Father, following the earthquake or earthquakes this week, be with those who've been rendered homeless. Be with those who've lost loved ones. Be with those, Father, hungry, desolate. All happens in a moment. Father, for that nation, we lift them up before you. And pray, O God, that you will move in people's hearts, bring them to Christ, that you will bless those who seek to bring aid to them in their devastation. Father, we pray for that G7 conference summit which begins in Bavaria, Germany. Be with those leaders of the seven nations, with all of the responsibilities resting on their shoulders. In the world in which we live, Father, guide them, direct them, bless them, we pray, with food shortages caused by the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Father God, and the inflation of prices, hardship for many, not only in our own nation, but around the world. Father God, we just lift all of this to you. Pray, Lord, you will guide those leaders as they meet. Pray for our own Prime Minister, members of the Cabinet, members of Parliament, all of the things that are taking place before our eyes and our ears. We pray for wisdom and for guidance, O God, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. I was going to have another hymn, but time's going on, and as Janet's sitting here, we'll have a hymn that you've been singing well this morning. We'll leave this one, all right? And I was going to cut some verses out, but I think it's best if we move in to our time in the Word of God. If you have your Bible, come back with me, please, to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 to 21. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through to 21. My title this morning, The Law. I've got to pause. The Law Given to a Redeemed People. And that's the great thing you have to notice here. There in verse 2, the words of the Lord, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Now, my brief this morning, this is the passage I've been given, my brief this morning is to open up for you Exodus 20. It will be a whistle-stop tour. It will be a bird's eye view. If I can lovingly just say, by way of introduction, when we're at the church in Cheltenham, I did one occasion do a series on the Ten Commandments, and that took 10 weeks. All right, you had a week on every one of them. But it's going to be a precy this morning, as we wrote, a precy at school, a condensed edition. But a good opportunity for us this morning in your series and studies in the book of Exodus to see this passage overall, to see it therefore in its entirety. The Israelites, just to get the context, have been redeemed from Egypt. They've been liberated. They've been set free. Passover, protection of the blood of the lamb that was shed, and the doorposts and the lintels, as the angel of death came sweeping through that evening, they were protected as they ate the roast lamb, protected by the blood on the outside. And then there was the liberation, not only from Egypt, but through the Red Sea, when Moses said to them, all right, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, They didn't know how it was going to work out. The sea separated, and they came through the Red Sea. And they are en route now to the Promised Land. And the Lord is about to do something momentous at Mount Sinai. He's led them south, and they come down to Horeb and to Mount Sinai. He is to give his redeemed people the law. And the Lord gives clear instructions in chapter 19. If I may, I'm going to read to you from verse 20 down to verse 25. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai, called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down." He's already come up once, now he's going to go down. "Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish." You can't just come into the presence of the Lord like that. "Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy." The Lord replied, "Go down, bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. And then God speaks, and he gives the law. So while the law is going to be given, here are the clear instructions there, verse chapter 19, leading us into chapter 20. I've got three headings this morning, and the first one is simply this: the speaker. The speaker. Verses 1 and 2, God spoke all these words. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." I am the Lord your God. I remember years ago that when we were in the youth group in Bournemouth, we used to go every sort of springtime for a young people's weekend to Swanage. You go over on the ferry or round by rope via Wareham, whichever. And one year we had a speaker, and he took for the whole weekend John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." The Friday night was just the two words at the beginning of the verse, John 15:5, "I am." And his title was simply this: the I Amship of Christ. I am the vine, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he went on, opening up other scriptures. When God appeared to Moses from out of the burning bush, and Moses listened to all of this plan for him to go back from minding the sheep where he was to lead this great multitude of God's people out of Egypt, "Who shall I say, Lord, has sent me? What's your name?" Exodus 3:14, "I am that I am. And thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." The I Amship of God, the I Amship of Christ. When Jesus was engaging with the Jews in John chapter 8, and he mentioned Abraham, and they said, "What do you know about Abraham? You're not 50 years of age yet." He's only in his 30s. "You're not 50 years of age yet." He said to them, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to stone him. Were the Jews such people that they took up stones to stone someone who made a grammatical error? The answer is no. They knew what he meant. Before Abraham was, I am. And here is the Lord now saying, "I am the Lord your God." He was speaking, the one who is Almighty God, revealing himself to them. He created them. He chose them. He set them apart. Abraham he called out of Ur of the Chaldees. Then his son Isaac was given as a result of the promise. And Jacob, he led them and was preserving them. He raised up Joseph, and he used him He preserved and protected them all of these years in Egypt, and he is the God and Father of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So notice here, the second part of verse 2, who brought you? I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Two little things here. Not only did he bring them out of Egypt, he brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of bondage. He liberated them when he delivered them from Egypt. Now, notice this with me this morning, and I believe it's important. He didn't give them the law in Egypt and say, you keep this and I'll redeem you. I will bring you out. I will deliver you. No, he didn't give them the law in Egypt. He redeemed them, his chosen people, and then he gave them the law. So my title this morning, the law, and I've got a little break there, given to a redeemed people. He had already redeemed them and brought them out. So as I heard someone sum it up once years ago in a message, I always remembered it, quoted it many times, the law is not the promised way of redemption for the sinner, but it's a prized way of righteousness for the saint. Get the difference? The law is not the promised way of redemption for the sinner. Go on, keep this if you can, and you'll be saved. You cannot keep it. But it is the prized way of righteousness for the saint. Grace and law go together. Grace leads us to the law, and grateful love leads us to obedience. I am giving you the law, the Lord is saying. This is how you are to live as my redeemed people. So there's no salvation here by works. And there isn't in the New Testament. We're not saved by works. We're saved by trust in Christ. Being born again of the Spirit of God. They in the Old Testament believing one day the Saviour, the Redeemer, the Messiah would come. Hence Isaiah 53. We are redeemed by God's grace. So heading number one, the speaker. That's a little shorter than heading number two is going to be, which is simply this. The 10 words. I'm calling it that this morning, the 10 words. Verses 3 down to verse 17. Alan Redpath wrote a book years ago, got it on my shelf at home, turned it out this week, had a dig into it. The Law of Liberty. The law of liberty. I've redeemed you. I've set you free. Now live by this, that you might know that law of liberty. So there's a great call here for purity of mind and of heart. So I'm going to skate, if I may, over the commandments, the 10 words. First commandment reminds you and me that we live in a world where there are many gods, with a small g, and many lords, with a small l. Out there, many gods, many lords. Paul could write to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 8 and verses 5 and 6, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods, many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things come, and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. There's only one God. There is only one Lord. Only one Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the God we love, and the God we worship, and as they were brought out of Egypt into and on their way to the promised land, there's only one Lord, there's only one God. You worship me. You don't worship other lords and gods. I turned up Francis Ridley Havergal's hymn this morning. If it had been in Mission Praise, I would have chosen it to sing. Jesus, Master, whose I am. And there, one of her verses goes like this. Other lords have long held sway, now thy name alone to bear, none others. Now thy name alone to bear. Thy dear voice alone obey is my daily, hourly prayer. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Nothing else my joy can be. That's the truth. That's how it's to be. So this first commandment spells it out. I've redeemed you, none other before me. Second commandment adds the requirement that this God, our God, is to be thought of only in a spiritual way. No need to make statues, no need to set up objects to assist us in our worship. You'll understand if I say this morning, and it's the truth, some so-called religious places are cluttered with all sorts of paraphernalia, religious paraphernalia. We don't need it. Otherwise, if we're not careful, we're bowing down to idols. The Lord and the Lord alone is to be worshipped, and he can be worshipped without any additional extras or ornaments set up to try and remind us of him. We come to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place. And these other things simply won't add to that. And beware, because all of this offends him. So I put in commandment number two. And it will, if down to the third and fourth generations, they are copying dad, granddad, great-granddad, and so you go on. If they are copying down to the third and fourth generations, then the judgment of the Lord will follow suit. But, as you have here, showing love to 1,000 generations. I don't know how many great-granddads you go back for 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So, we have to be careful. Therefore, we're moving on here. The third commandment just follows on. The use of our mouths and tongues and voices in adoration. And we have to be careful. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We have to be careful. We're to use his name in recognition of who he is, what he has done, and who he welcomes. Who he is, what he has done, spared not his one and only Son, and who he welcomes, those who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. In other words, saved and redeemed sinners. And I trust this morning we all know Christ as Lord and Saviour. There's only salvation through him. That one way, and that one way alone. But it's all too easy to name the name of the Lord, but fail to obey the one whose name it is. I am that I am. The great unchanging God. All that he ever was, he is right now. All that he ever will be, he is now. He never changes. We change. We're fickle, forgive me saying it, but we are, and mercurial. Up and down like the mercury in the thermometer. He never changes. We are not to take his name in vain. He is the great unchanging God. But to push the application of commandment number three a little further, his precious name can be used and is used tragically today in profanity, in frivolity, people joke about it, and in hypocrisy. In hypocrisy. Matthew 7:21, Sermon on the Mount, the third chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, there's the name of the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So we are not to take the name in vain. And if there are those who in hypocrisy take that name in vain, and then there, the gate of heaven, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven. Now, when you come to number four, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. See the context now as you build up a picture, as you look at this overall. No other gods before me. No idols in place of me to help your worship or whatever. Don't misuse my name in worship. And that leads naturally to the fourth commandment, a day of rest. One in seven, a day of holy rest, a day set aside to worship him. Common round of things all through the week, and we spend time with him in Bible reading and prayer, trust we do, through the week. But then the day set aside like this one, first day of a new week, set aside to worship him. Our materialistic, secular society has hijacked Sunday and turned it into a day of amusement, a day of sport, a day of commerce, a day of noise, and everything else. This is the Lord's Day. It is special to us. It should be special to us. And may we keep it that way. Cast your mind back to 1985. There's going to be a movement in our nation, which of course came through Sunday trading. You remember the group KSS? Keep Sunday special. Keep Sunday special. And I thought of that this week, and it still holds good that we should keep Sunday special. Now, notice as you come to number five, honour your father and mother. Its central and unique place in the ten words, the Ten Commandments, here in verse 12. First four deal with our obedience to the Lord, our worship of the Lord. Now comes our first duty, and it's within the family. It's within the family. Honour. Honour your father and mother. And to honour means much more than to obey, although obedience, of course, is included. When I married Mary, many years ago now, and left home, walked out of Mum and Dad's home on that last morning, going to the church to marry Mary, we got our home, a little flat in Parkstone, pool, all ready for when we came back from honeymoon. I've left home. Mary left our home. In that sense, I no longer had to obey my parents, although I would still go on listening to what Dad said, Mother said. But to honour my mother and father never ceased. Never ceases. I buried Mother in June 1993. I buried Father in January 2000. I honoured them, I trust, to the end. And that honour shines forth in love. It shines forth in kindness. It shines forth in devotion. And I have to say, when it comes to Father's Day, like last week, I've no longer a dad alive. I would still in prayer on Father's Day thank the Lord for my dad. I'm not praying for the dead. I'm thanking the Lord for what he did for me when he was alive here. And on Mother's Day to thank the Lord for my mother. And it comes to a time when the older I believe we get, forgive me, the more we've realized along the way how much they did for us. How much they did for us. I remember when we had our children, Jo, our daughter, born 1970, he'll be 52 this year. But I remember when we first had Jo and all the things we did for it, suddenly your life changes around this little baby bundle that you've got there. And I said to Mary one day, did our parents do all this for us? And she said, of course they did. And they did. Sometimes they sacrificed. They sacrificed, and I know that. And I honour my parents, my mother and father. Now, as you come after that one to number six, continuing the progression here, the Lord says, no other gods before me, verse 2, worship only me, and then make no idols to assist that worship or to worship the idols. As our Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, 23, true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. She was saying, well, you know that we will worship in Jerusalem. No, he says, true worshippers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. No hypocrisy in worship. That's here in number 3, commandment 3. Keep that day of worship and rest special. Then the focus turns to the family and is addressed to the children. Honour your father and mother. Commandments 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10. Now the emphasis is on the community. The community. And one writer observes that pretty well. Doesn't say every, but that pretty well every society counts murder, adultery and theft as forbidden acts. Murder. A violation of the sanctity of life. I remember a lady we knew who lived up in the Cotswolds, and we stayed once or twice. She loaned us her house. Very nice house she had, and she went off on holiday to some relatives. I remember going up there to see her one time, and she was handing over the house to us. And I don't know how we got on to this conversation. And this is back in the 70s, 80s. She said, they'd murder you today for a pound. The sanctity of life, of which God has given us as a gift, and the fact that out there in certain quarters it is so cheap. The sanctity of life. No murder, no adultery. A violation of the sanctity of marriage. Pastorally seen marriages and families wrecked. Adultery. Theft, taking what is not yours. Oh, I'd like that. And there are those who help themselves. Number 9, when you come to commandment number 9, telling the truth in court, not only there in court, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbour if you're hauled up before Winchester Crown Court or wherever, but also no tale bearing about your neighbour, member of your family even. No innuendo or character assassination. That can go on even in Christian circles. A friend of mine in a college, Christian brother, doctor of theology, someone bounded into his presence one day, have you heard about so-and-so's marriage? And it was two students in the college. He said, I'll give you 24 hours to put up or shut up. And he came back 6 hours later and said, I'm sorry, sir, it's not the truth. So he said, no. But he said, you started going around telling it. I'll give you 24 hours to put up or shut up. And he did the latter. So we have to be careful what we say about others. James 1. Verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, as and is itself set on fire by hell, the tongue. So, you shall not give false testimony. There it is. And finally, number 10, we're there, don't covet. Don't covet. You shall not covet your neighbour's house, shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. King David, my namesake in the Bible, in the Old Testament, as I've probably told you before, there's only one David in the Bible. been tons of us since. King David violated the sixth and the seventh commandments, but it began with the tenth. He coveted another man's wife, and he took her. Commandment 10. He coveted Bathsheba, and he took her. And he committed adultery, and then had her husband murdered. The eyes are the organs of desire. You shall not covet. Another man's house, another man's car, another man's wife, another man's this, another man's that. It's there. You shall not covet. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. We used to sing that in a chorus in Sunday school. You shall not covet. The eyes are the organs of desire. And we have to be careful. Heading number one, I'm coming into land, my dear friends. Heading number one, the speaker. Heading number two, the 10 words. Heading number three, the reaction. And you get this here just briefly in the close, verses 18 to 21, the close of the section I'm taking with you this morning. The law of liberty. Let me repeat what I said at the beginning. You cannot be saved, redeemed by keeping this. But having been redeemed, having been brought out of Egypt and slavery, keep this. Obey the Lord. Follow the Lord, that it might be best for you. And a life of obedience and joy in the presence of the Lord. They saw, as we're told here, the lightning and the mountain in smoke. They heard the thunder and they heard the trumpet. And they were gripped with fear, which I may say is understandable in such an awesome setting. But the interesting thing is this. The trumpet was the voice of God inviting them to come to him. Chapter 19 and verse 13, the last part of verse 13. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. Keep away. But when you hear the ram's horn, the trumpet, then they may go up to the mountain. And the comforting words of Moses follow in verse 20. Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Comforting words. Don't be afraid. The Lord has given you his law. He loves you. Live by this in reverential fear. Not fright, but reverential fear. Fear of him. In some quarters today, that reverential fear, that awesomeness in the presence of God is missing. We have to approach him with reverential fear. The fear of reverence. He is a holy and a merciful and a great God. And if we do that, he will bless us. He will keep us. And then notice this. This is where I close. He will bring them safe into the promised land. He will bring you and me safe home to glory. You won't be saved by keeping this or by your good works. You're only redeemed by trusting in Christ as Lord and Saviour. And then we are to live a holy, a God-fearing life. And one day, he's taking us home to glory, saved by grace. So may these lovely words of Exodus 20 be an encouragement to you all, and thank you for listening. We're going to sing a hymn as we close, and I'll pray, and then we'll have tea and coffee together. The hymn as we close in our hymn books is 586. 586, please, Janet. Saviour, thy dying love, thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. 586.